Hey, this is Tom Waddle. Thanks for listening to the Waddle and Sylvie podcast brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship.
It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Hi.
Hi. Hi.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
All right, we have a developing story, Waddle, that is very, very big here. In the wake of what's happened in Kenosha, the Milwaukee Bucks are thinking about boycotting this afternoon's game. It's a Game 5 playoff series against the Magic. They've not come out of the locker room, and right now the Magic have just left the court as well. So this has been in conversation with everything going on, Black Lives Matter, and everything that they've wanted to draw attention to. And now the horrific story that we've had right in our backyard in Kenosha.
There was talk amongst the Raptors, I believe, yesterday that they were having internal discussions whether or not they were going to play in tomorrow's first game of their series with the Boston Celtics.
So I don't know how the NBA would proceed, if they would PPD it or if this is like unprecedented. So we will keep you updated throughout the afternoon.
That game was supposed to start at 3 o'clock. So that's why it's newsworthy that it clearly is not starting on time. And also, Waddle, what you were saying is earlier today, also the Celtics, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, both showed concern about playing tomorrow against the Raptors as well.
So we'll see how, and Wilbon's on with us today. He's at 4:30, a little earlier today. He will be awesome to talk to all about all of this and what the league should do, what players should do. White Sox lead Pittsburgh right now 8-2. That game's in the bottom of the sixth inning. Giolito, the no-hitter last night. But let's talk to we have seven reporters who do great work.
I consider them friends as well.
They're friends of the show. It's a really, really good group. We're very fortunate, the journalists we have in our time.
Unless they don't see the quarterback derby the way I do. Okay. They're not friends.
So we're calling this a judge's table, and we have JD ready first, and then we'll go to Dan Weider from the Trib, Kevin Fishbane from the Athletic, Mark Potash from the Sun-Times, Dion Miller from ABC7, Patrick Finley from the Sun-Times, and JJ Stankovic from NBC Sports Chicago. Let's kick this off with JD. JD, how are you today?
Guys, I'm wonderful. What a group you have compiled here, but I'm looking at the list and I'm a little worried for Mitch. No Johns, no Hogue.
I know,
good for number 10, but I guess away we go.
We asked
both, yes.
We sent an invite to all.
So, I asked Adam Johns. He's busy right now. He's picking up his kids from school.
Totally understand.
And Adam Hogue has contractual obligations to a different
totally
organization.
Understandable
but
as well.
He texted and said, if you want his input, he will give it to us, and he is leaning toward Nick Foles right now.
I know the meter was working towards Nick Foles. We talked about that in practice today. I'm just trying to be fair and balanced here for number 10.
Right.
We want to make sure that we have everything covered, but I think our group is going to do great. So
to
be here.
Kick us off, JD. A, how do you see the competition as we stand right now? And who do you believe will be under center when things kick off in Detroit for the first game?
I don't think either quarterback has overwhelmed. I don't think either quarterback has lit it up. I think certain days have been better for Trubisky. Certain days have been better for Foles. I think today Foles was a lot better. He threw a beautiful touchdown pass to Riley Ridley, early in one of those full length of the field type team drills. I thought Trubisky was not very good today. The ball wasn't coming out of his hand sometimes very well. But yesterday, after the lightning delay, in individuals, not in team, but in individuals, Trubisky was lights out. Like he was, the ball was coming out of his hand before team drills yesterday. Tremendous. And then team drills happen and the ball is sailing
But it is
high.
A team game, so.
It's not so good. So I don't want to steal everyone else's thunder.
All right, who's
so
winning?
So I will give you, quickly, I'll give you my cliff notes. I think I'm still going to go with Foles being the guy. I think they've both been about the same. I just feel like the trust level with the coaches with Nick Foles is going to be stronger than it's going to be with Trubisky. I think Trubisky has more upside in terms of, like, possible talent, but you just can't wait any longer for that talent to materialize. They've got to try to win. And now with Montgomery getting hurt today, it puts even more pressure on the quarterback, knowing what the heck he's doing, reading defenses if Montgomery has to miss any time with that groin injury. So my meter, my arrow, is not pinned one way or the other. But I would just say right now, based on everything I've seen, I think there's a stronger chance that Nick Foles is your guy week one than Mitchell Trubisky.
Okay. Waddle won't accept that, though, because Waddle wants to know.
He's not accepting a tie.
Even if it's by a millimeter, JD, who's winning right now, in your estimation?
But, I mean, I'm telling you what's going on out there. Should I start making things up and being
by
like,
by a millimeter,
oh, yeah.
JD, come on.
So you say it's even.
No, I'm saying that I think there's a much stronger chance, based on what I've seen right now through 8 padded practices, that Nick Foles is going to be your week one starting quarterback than Mitchell Trubisky.
All right.
I'm looking at everything from practice, from what the head coach is saying, from how things are going, from relationships, from connections, from past performances. I'm going with Foles, but not in a landslide by any means.
All right, 1-0 Foles. JD, great work.
Thank you, JD.
Thank you, boys.
Dan Weider joins us every week, too.
Hot take, Dan. Give us a hot take here.
And of the Chicago Tribune. By the way, Floyd is not happy with your newspaper. More on that later. I'll text you about that. But, Dan, who's winning currently, and who's your projected winner?
Let me first start by telling you that school pickups in the Weiderer household can always be rearranged for an invitation to talk to you guys, particularly if there's going to be a hot take quarterback roundtable to occur.
So Say his name.
My son can wait for a little while longer. Right now, I am giving a slight edge to Nick Foles in the competition as we stand now. I think Mitch has had more ooh moments. I think Mitch has also had more moments. And I think Matt Nagy honestly is tired of reaching for the Pepto-Bismol at night when he's watching the film. And so even though over the last couple of days Foles hasn't been great, he's been decent. And I think you're starting to see things with his timing, with his accuracy, with the way he's processing the field and with what the things his vision are doing, that I think they're trending in the right direction. So I think here's the deal. If the Bears were going to take another leap of faith with 10, they would want to do this with undeniable evidence, right, that he's a much improved quarterback over 2019. To this point through camp, I don't think we've seen it. And as you guys may be aware of, we're going to Soldier Field Saturday for a major, major showcase practice at Soldier Field at noon Saturday.
All right, Dan. Thank you.
So that was Foles and Foles, right?
Foles and Foles. It's two, yes. Foles a slight edge, and Foles is his projected winner. Kevin Fishbane, who I tweet every Sunday when the Bears go 3 and out on their first
Leave
drive of the
alone,
game.
Leave him alone, will you?
He works at The Athletic. Yes. Kevin, great. Thank you for joining us on the Corona Hotline. How do you have it scored thus far, and who's your projected winner?
Gentlemen, it's an honor. I have to agree with the men before me, and I have... Let's say Nick Foles coming into today was like a Cairo Santos ahead of Mitch Trubisky. And after his performance today, maybe like a full Nick Foles ahead. He lit it up in the two-minute drill, and Mitch didn't. And you know, to kind of expound on what Reality Zone Weider said, when Mitch misses, he misses. I mean, like that's the problem. It's just the variant is too much with him. And the second part, week one, I'm leaning Foles, guys. To me, John DeFilippo was with this guy when he won a Super Bowl. Bill Lazor was with this guy when he threw 27 touchdowns and 2 picks. Mm-hmm. Matt Nagy watched from the opposite sideline when he threw game-winning touchdown against the best defense in football in a playoff game. I just think that if it's even, or even Nick Foles is a little bit ahead, they're going to give it to the guy they trust in games.
That's great. Good dot connected
that
right
is.
There, Kevin. Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin.
He does great work for The Athletic, Kevin Fishbane. An old friend of ours, he's been on the beat forever. That doesn't mean he's old.
You just called him old.
No, he's not old. He's enthusiastic.
You just said old
and he's never scared to ask the tough question. Potsy Mark Potash from the Sun-Times joins us. What's up, Potsy?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
What do you see?
Well, you know, I kind of agree with JD. I really think it's really difficult to tell. I think it's actually literally difficult to tell. You know, half the practices are on the far field at behind the Payton Center, and there's players on the sideline in front of us. It's very difficult to see. I literally, for 3 days last week, I thought Tyler Bray was the best quarterback on the roster until I realized the number 8 I was looking at was number 9. So I can't. So it's that hard to tell what's going on. So I think all of us, even though you consider us experts, I think everybody's vantage point has been disadvantaged through this process. That said, I think Nick Foles is ahead by a head, but we're only we're barely into the far turn. I think there's a long way to go, especially tomorrow, seeing how Mitch Trubisky responds. This is the most talk there's been about, I think, a performance by a quarterback in practice, and Mitch Trubisky certainly has to know that. Now we'll see, will he respond? So what I'm saying is, I think Foles is ahead at this point. I do think, though, I don't think that there's been enough separation so far, and I don't think there will be, that will sway the Bears away from Mitch Trubisky. I think they will start Trubisky in week one because he knows this offense best still. He has the best rapport with players and with his teammates, with his offense. He's great against the Lions. He's been great against the Lions. This is his last opportunity, this start. The Lions and the Giants, back-to-back weeks, his last chance to prove something, and if he doesn't, then you're going to a number two quarterback who has done everything in his entire career, his best work as a number two quarterback, stepping in for a number one. So I think that scenario is still the most likely to ensue, or the most I still see that as a logical scenario for the Bears.
Wow. Potsy turning our into first, a truther.
We have our first vote for Mitch.
Yes. All right.
You,
so
Potsy.
It's 3-1 right now, though he does say Foles is a tad ahead right now. But that was good logic. Deion Miller does great work for ABC7. They also captured great, not good footage. The footage was good for viewing, but it wasn't good news with David Montgomery about him slipping. You should check that out on ABC7. Deion, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you guys? I'm feeling very honored to be the only female on this judges panel. I hope I don't screw it up.
You are not going to screw it up. You see this team as well as anybody.
And here's what I can tell you. The disappointing thing is that I don't think anyone's winning the quarterback competition right now, and that is disappointing. I feel like they take turns each day being inconsistent and mediocre, and that's not what the Bears offense needs. I would say Foles is winning, if I had to, just based on the fact that from day one, he looked and sounded like a quarterback. And from day one, Mitch can hand off like a champ. I mean, he just isn't doing much more than we already have seen, right? So that was my first observation. And the other thing that I noticed today, Mitch threw an interception to Kendall Vildor, and as soon as it left his hands, his head dropped and he walked away. Okay, that to me is a mental thing. That's something that he can't overcome. This is the lack of confidence that Nick Foles has that Mitch does not have. And I can't believe I'm going to say this out loud, though. When it all comes down to it, and when I really think about what week one will look like, I agree with Potsy.
Wow.
I agree that they're going to start Mitch Trubisky. I think they're going to give him a chance, and then they're going to have a backup there that I think they brought in to be the starter. But I think they're going to give Mitch the chance to get into week one. And unless we see something starkly different over the next, you know, two practices we're allowed to watch, or we hear something different, I really think they're going to give Mitch that chance to start, and then they have a guy there who knows the offense, knows the coaches, and can step in and hopefully take the offense where they weren't before.
Deion, great stuff.
Thank
ABC
you,
7. So she says that it's Foles winning, but she, like
Mitch,
Potsy,
will be under center for the opener.
Patrick Finley does great work for the Sun-Times. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
We're good. How do you see it right now, and who's your projected winner?
I am amazed that I'm hearing descriptors like the ball was really coming out of his hand well, and he was on fire, and he was zipping it around. Both of these guys have been bad. I have no confidence in either of them at this point. You can make the argument that Trubisky should be better if he's playing for his career, which he is over the next couple of weeks. But you could also say that the guy that they traded a fourth-round pick to and owe $24 million over the next 3 years, maybe he should be above average too. And neither of them have been. I side with Potsy. I roll with Potsy in all things life-related, but I particularly here, that starting Nick Foles in week one is like telling Ben Zobrist that he has to play second base and only second base for the entire season. What makes Foles good is that he might be the greatest number two in the history of modern NFL football. And I think you need to start him in that position if it's close.
So it's
right
so
now.
Who do you have a leader right now, Patrick? So you're projecting Mitch, but who's leading Mitch, right now if you have to pick one?
I think Mitch by a little bit. And I think if the season were to start tomorrow, the only way Nick Foles would be the quarterback would be if like some of the guys said, if the Bears coaches were relying on the past and not the past 10 days to make their decision.
Wow, good stuff,
okay.
Patrick.
Thank you, Patrick.
Patrick Finley, the Sun-Times, and we'll wrap it up.
We're 3-3.
Yes. And J.J. Stankovic from NBC Sports Chicago, the pressure is on because you have to break our tie, J.J.
Guys, this is like the Red Sox coming back from 3-0. We got to game 7. So I think everyone on this call has summed it up pretty well in that both quarterbacks have not been impressive. And I don't see a lot of separation between Foles and Mitch. As some folks mentioned already, Foles had a much better day today than Trubisky. But I agree with Potsy, Dion, and Pat. In a relatively even battle, or even one where Foles has a slight edge, and if Foles right now does have a slight edge in this battle, the Bears go with Mitch to start the season. But that does not mean I think Mitch is going to necessarily finish the game against the Lions as the Bears starter. Or go into week 2 as the Bears starter. I think this thing extends into the regular season, but right now, Foles is winning the battle slightly, but Mitch Trubisky is your Bears starting quarterback week 1.
Very interesting.
You broke the tie.
Yes.
JJ, thank you.
Thanks,
great
JJ.
Work.
That was a lot of pressure, guys. I felt nervous.
And the Red Sox comp, too. J.J. Stankovic does great work on NBC Sports Chicago. Check him out. Well, I don't want you to react to this because we heard a lot of the Billick philosophy with our writers. This thing started off, I thought it was going to be a sweep for Foles. They all said it was close. Most of them said Foles is winning by a hair, but 4-3 projected that Mitch Trubisky would start the opener, and want Waddle's reaction next.
Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
All right, we have some breaking news to pass along first. The Milwaukee Bucks are boycotting Game 5 of the NBA playoffs. They will not play a game that was scheduled to start at 3 o'clock Chicago time over what has happened not only recently in Kenosha, but everything that's going on in our country these days.
Has there been any word about whether or not the Oklahoma City-Houston game, which is, I believe, scheduled for 5:30, or tonight's Portland Los Angeles game.
I don't know. And how are they going to rule on this? I mean, do they PPD this and just say, we hear you? We've always been the league that we hear and we understand what's going on, and thus you won't forfeit?
I was reading a tweet from Bobby Marks who said that there is forfeiture language, if that's the right word, in the collective bargaining agreement, but he doesn't believe, if I'm kind of reading his tea leaves here, that I don't think anyone believes that the commissioner will force the Bucks to forfeit this team because of these circumstances.
Maybe they just postpone it all
and
like come together today and like meet the media or something. I mean, I think it would be really, really difficult to give the Bucks a forfeit.
Yeah, I can't imagine that the league
would
do
that.
No, you
can't do that. I think that they know that the players know by now just because they're playing, and there was talk of not playing in general beforehand, that Adam Silver is going to have their back in whatever they do. So they'll come to an agreement.
It's 10-2 now, White Sox over the Pirates.
Dingers.
Abreu just hit a dinger.
Yeah.
They just keep on
dinging. My name's Big Al, and I hit dingers.
Yeah. So what was your reaction? I just tweeted out the results. That absolutely surprised me. I didn't know where it was going to go, Waddle. Most believed either Foles had a slight edge or that they were both bad or mediocre.
Listen,
But 4-3 said that they projected Mitch as a starter.
If let's just say this is a competition that is being watched by the coaches. If the coaches collectively come to the decision that Nick Foles has won the competition and they start Mitch, that I don't understand that logic. I just don't. Like, if you tell me this is a legitimate competition and one guy was better than the other guy when you graded every play and it was a fair competition, but player B won the competition, but we're going to start player A, that to me is like, why? Why did you even have the competition then? There was no reason to have a competition if, in fact, is it because one guy didn't stand head and shoulders above the other guy? Like, and practice is one thing. You've had 2 years of seeing Mitch. Like, really? That's why I'm, you know, the whole concept of competition here. Like, they know who Mitch is. And they think they know who Nick Foles is. I would say this. I wouldn't be surprised. Nothing would surprise me about this competition, so to speak, but I wouldn't be surprised if Nick Foles continues to look a little bit better than Mitch as time goes on. And again, I'm just speculating.
Distance himself a little bit more, like he did today?
This is why. I mean, Nick Foles is basically just, he doesn't even know the names probably of everyone inside his offensive huddle. He just started working with these guys. This was practice number, what, 7 for Nick Foles with his offensive teammates? You can know the offensive terminology and the language and how the offense is supposed to be run front and back. But there's also a component of becoming comfortable with the guys that are in your huddle. Mitch has been in that huddle for the better part of 2.5-3 years with a lot of these guys. The other thing is Nick's just learning that defense he's facing every day as well. Mitch has seen that defense now for two. My point is not trying to shift the pendulum into Nick's category. I'm giving you some perspective here that I'm not shocked that Nick Foles has lagged a little bit. He probably is not as impressive in these practices as everyone, including myself, anticipated. Part of that maybe he is just getting used to new teammates because he knows the offense. Maybe he's just not playing well. I don't know. But again, I'll circle back to the initial thought I had. If you feel there's been a decisive winner, like most everyone said they felt that Nick was ahead at least slightly. If you've got a guy who wins the competition and you start the other guy, was it really a competition?
No.
Right.
No, and I thought that what Fishbane said about connecting the dots with the former coaches, whether it was the 27 touchdown, 2 interception year, whether it was a Super Bowl year, whether it was Nagy across the sideline from Foles watching him march down 60 yards and score the game-winning touchdown.
There's
a trust factor with all the coaches, more so with Foles, and if they get burnt by Trubisky again, shame on them.
That's exactly how I have felt about it. Now, again, I don't know how this is going to play out. I said when the day they traded for Foles, the familiarity that everyone has talked about, I thought that gave Nick Foles an edge in this competition. But again, if you tell me that one guy wins the competition and they start the other guy, was it really a competition is my first response.
Ted's in Berwyn. Hey, Ted, you're on ESPN 1000.
Gentlemen, how are you?
We're good.
Great, great. Just real quickly with the breaking news you just gave, and 100% agreement with the Milwaukee Bucks and their organization, and I applaud what they are doing, and I can care less, and I'm pretty sure many people in my community can care less whether they want to postpone this game or not. We don't want it postponed. We want the attention on the issue and what it is that they're doing. So I just real quickly wanted to say that. Okay, guys?
Sure. It's a good point, Ted.
And then the next thing, why I called in, which is about the quarterback issue. In my opinion, this goes back to the actual underlying twofold problem. Number A, why did we even bring this quarterback in if he's on equal par with what we have already? Why didn't we bring in a quarterback? And there were two that existed, maybe two or three, who were by far better than this quarterback. So the gentleman from the quarterback from Carolina and the quarterback that played down in Florida, I believe it was Tampa, and they both signed with other teams. They're above and beyond better than this quarterback. And I believe the reason that we didn't sign those is the reason why we have problem problem number B, which is the first problem. Why did we draft this bum in the first place? Ahead of two quarterbacks who are exceptionally better than him. And I believe, like I've stated before, the reason for both of those is because our organization, and it needs to be taken a look at, did not want a black quarterback as the face of this franchise. Want to hang up again.
Ted, let me ask you a question, because we get this a lot. This isn't like some...
I don't think we get this a lot. I listen all the time, and I don't hear this discussion.
No. We've gotten this quite a bit, actually. We brought this up. Why would... And look, I don't know. With what goes on in 2020, I would never think that we would have to talk about all this. Like, I thought it would be way, way better. And we definitely have major, major issues that need to be taken care of. But why would the Bears have a leader in Lovie Smith and a head coach who's black and not want a quarterback who's black?
Here's my answer to that. The question should not be, why would they bring in Lovie? The question should be, why is Lovie the only African-American that they've brought in? In my opinion, that should be the question. Guys, I listen to you every day, and you guys are wonderful, absolutely wonderful. There is a segment of the population in Chicago that represents, give or take, 25 to almost 30% of the Chicago population. And we are packing these bars on the south side and the south suburbs every Sunday. And what we are talking about is not addressed. This guy was picked because they did not want the other two black quarterbacks. We've been talking about this since day one when they drafted him, but it's not discussed on the radio station. And for me, someone who's been listening to this radio station since I was 16, 17 years old, I was introduced to sports radio by my brother-in-law, who drove trucks for Jewel High School in Merrill's Park. And I've loved it ever since. And it's hurtful to me that I have to tell my friends or talk to my friends, and they tell me, we don't want to listen to radio. And I'm trying to tell them why you should, but when they tune in, they're not hearing what it is that is affecting them. This is what we believe. This is how we feel. We've been feeling this way for 4 years. We should have Mahomes or Watson as our quarterback, and we didn't have that. Therefore, we should have had the guy from Carolina or the guy, I believe it's from Tampa, as our quarterback this year. And that didn't happen, and it's very obvious to us why it's not happening. And I just wanted to make that statement.
Well, and I think the fact that, like, Ted, I mean, everyone's allowed to make whatever point they want to make, and we appreciate your perspective, and we respect it. I personally don't believe what you believe on this front with regard to the quarterback situation. That doesn't mean your point. I'm not dismissing your point. I just don't believe that was the final decision. I just don't. Now, I mean, like I said, I'm respecting your perspective, and I'm not dismissing what you said in any way, shape, or form. I just don't think they're very good at evaluating talent at the quarterback position.
Waddle. Man, I love you to death, and you guys are awesome, but we can agree to disagree. I'm just telling you what we are talking about in our bars, in our homes, in the barbershops for 4 years. And this argument is not presented or discussed enough, and it just feels like it's just pushed to the side when this is how we feel, and it's not being discussed enough. This guy should not have been even drafted. We made one mistake, okay. We should have brought in a quarterback who is much better than him. That to feed us this bullcrap and make us think it was a competition when in reality it really wasn't. It really wasn't.
Ted, thank you. Yeah, we appreciate your phone call, and you always have a voice here at ESPN 1000.
Yes, I mean...
And look, and we always open up the phone lines for that. We will not shy away from any of these discussions.
By the same token, I'm not going to come out and make a statement
right. Agreeing
with something I don't believe. But again, I'm not going to be dismissive of Ted's perspective.
Right. Why don't we talk about what happened in the NBA today? We'll start that off coming up next.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
All right, we think the right thing to do is hear from you with the news on the NBA. The Bucks have boycotted their game. We'll see what happens with the rest of the league, what Adam Silver has to say, And it's big news based on what's happened in Kenosha and in this country for not just the last several days or the last several weeks or the last several months.
Remember,
but
also,
of course, the last several decades and centuries.
Bucks player, I believe, is Sterling Brown, right? Had an issue with Milwaukee PD, I think, a couple of years ago. Am I right about that?
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, there is, I mean, there's history there for them as well, where this is very, very, very meaningful to them.
Yes, and we had
everybody.
And we had a caller who again is bringing up something that a lot of people have brought up before to us.
Yeah, and we have never. I mean, we've been doing this now for almost 14 years. I mean, we have never not given somebody a platform to talk about it. And Ted, you know, listen, we're never going to dismiss somebody's opinion.
Especially today with the crazy world we live in.
But by the same token, if I don't agree with the premise, I can't sit here and just agree with it because I don't want that uncomfortable conversation.
I'm cool giving the Bears an incompetent label.
Yes.
I'm not cool or don't know enough to tag them with a racist label.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't feel comfortable with that.
Yeah,
I don't.
Well, I believe they have been incompetent in their evaluation of quarterbacks for a long time. I don't believe the decision was made by Ryan Pace because of anything. This is just my opinion.
Right.
That was race-related. Nor do I believe, and I don't have any factual evidence to back up my claim, but I don't believe it came down from ownership that he wasn't allowed to draft either Deshaun Watson or Patrick Mahomes.
Mike on the north side, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Mikey.
Hey, gentlemen. I don't know where to start because I don't want to sound like I'm trying to come off like a jerk, right? I'm really not. But my call is in reference to Ted's. I understand that tensions are high, right? But to insinuate that the Bears are not drafting or signing black quarterbacks because they're racist is kind of silly. And if you would allow me just a minute to explain myself. At the time that Mahomes and Trubisky were being drafted, we weren't talking about Mahomes being a top two or three pick. Maybe Deshaun Watson, but he had terrible ACL injuries. Am I right?
I think he had at least one, if not two,
he
ACLs.
He had one, and then his rookie year, he tore the opposite leg, whatever leg that was. Okay, fine. So I can see maybe not wanting to take that unnecessary risk, because if you take him, you're in the same position, even if you've drafted a black quarterback or not. Going into this offseason, you have Jameis Winston, who is very talented. He was on a far more talented Tampa Bay offensive team, and he led them to a sub-500 record with his 30 touchdowns and his 30 pick-six interceptions. And with Cam Newton, why would you take a guy, whether it be for $1 million or more, who had missed 14 games, and you couldn't bring him in to evaluate his injury status, to see if he was healthy, to see if he was good to go, to see if he was going to be able to learn your playbook? I don't agree with the fact that the Bears are racist, and that's the reason they're not bringing in black quarterbacks.
Well, I have been leery of Jameis Winston because he has been loose and careless with the football, even going back to Florida State.
I'll say it. I'm sorry. I don't mean to call you up. I'll hang up and listen. You can say it. He's terrible. He's talented, but he's got the Jay Cutler syndrome. He just throws it wherever he wants because he has a strong arm, and it gets picked off.
And the Bears were in talks too with Bridgewater.
Yes,
they didn't go far enough with the money.
Well, I think Bridgewater also, there was a connection with the kid Brady, right? Who was the offensive coordinator that he was familiar with? Wasn't there
Joe Brady?
He came from LSU, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't there a connection there between Bridgewater and Brady?
Mm-hmm.
So, and Bridgewater was going to go to Carolina and basically be the starting quarterback.
Right.
He was going to come to Chicago.
The Bears still wanted a competition.
And go through. I can also tell you that Cam Newton, there weren't other teams that were interested at that time because no one could get Cam in the building. There were concerns about his injuries. you know, I can make a case for why they brought in Nick Foles because of the fact that they were familiar with him at the time. But listen, again, I'm not going to dismiss anybody's perspective or opinion on this.
Faye on the north side, you're on ESPN 1000. Good to talk to you, Faye.
You would say something right after I eat it. I've got a mouthful of lunch, and I've been waiting to talk to you guys. But maybe after today, you will never, ever want to hear from me again. But Ted is entitled to his opinion.
Of course he is.
Waddle, you're entitled to your opinion. The world is entitled to their opinion. But if we see things for what they are, then I'm not asking you to accept that. This is what we see. As a black person, I see it. I've seen it since I was 4 years old. Okay? I have seen it since 64, 69. It is an apparent deflection of duty to your team not to get the best quarterback. And for you to say, I can't accept it because it's Ted's view and it's your view, no one's asking you to accept it. It is what it is when you don't go out and get the best coach or the best quarterback for your team, and it just happens that those guys are black. How do you think it appears to us? How do you think it appears to the world? So my opinion is that it appears you don't want a black quarterback leading your team, no matter how good he is. You go out and get a Nick Foles, and we're going to have this controversy for months. Oh, who's better, Trubisky or Foles? Why should we have to have that when you can go out and get a qualified, I don't care what color they are, but a qualified quarterback? I am sick of it. And when you throw Lovie Smith in there, oh, Lord Jesus, you know how I feel about Lovie Smith. Lovie Smith blew the Super Bowl for us, okay? But I don't care about a token black coach. Come on, man. Lovie Smith was a lackey. He couldn't smile straight. He couldn't talk straight. So don't give me your views when you say, oh, I can't accept it. I don't want you to accept it. I just want you to speak on it, period. Frankly, that's it. I'll calm down.
Thank you. There's
Faye. And I'm just giving you, like I said, I didn't think Lovie Smith was a lackey. I thought Lovie Smith was a quality NFL head coach. And I think that the Bears have, under Ryan Pace, have misdiagnosed the quarterback situation. They've misevaluated it. That's my perspective on it.
Will Bond will join us at 4:30. We'll ask him what he thinks. He'll be really good on this. A lot of people want to talk. 312-332-3776. More of your calls next.
This hour is brought to you by White Claw Hard Seltzer. Crafted using seltzer water, 5% alcohol, and a hint of natural fruit. Available in 8 all-natural fruit flavors. It's low-carb, gluten-free, and only 100 calories. White Claw Hard Seltzer, made pure. Please drink responsibly.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home. Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
This will be one of those days that you probably won't ever forget. Big things happening in the NBA. The Bucks have boycotted their playoff game with Orlando. The Magic have left the arena, according to Shams. The Bucks players are still in their locker room, attempting to reach the Attorney General of Wisconsin. So that's the latest there. And Chris and Abdallah, we also know that the other teams scheduled to play will also boycott today.
Yeah, Shams is reporting that the Rockets OKC Thunder game that's coming up, it's supposed to be what, a 5:30 tip?
Yes.
They're planning on boycotting that game as well. No word on the Blazers and the Lakers, Chris, which is the night game.
Chris Haynes is reporting that the Lakers and Trailblazers are leaning toward boycotting game five tonight.
I'd be surprised if
I don't think any of these teams are going to play. Yeah. I think the league will listen to the players, and they will give the player
consistently,
and they will give the players the forum to speak out as well, and use this, and will not be penalized.
Adam Silver has not made a statement yet. Right? Haven't seen that anywhere. So,
no, in the Magic, they left the arena, Shams is reporting, and they are not accepting the forfeit from the Bucks.
Right.
So if anyone was questioning what's going on with the actual basketball, right, the Magic are not going to accept the forfeit.
Yeah, I mean, under no circumstances would this game be considered being forfeited.
Well, Bob in Rosemont, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Bob.
Good afternoon, fellas. It's a good conversation to have, but I think in many ways, Faye's position as well as Ted's positions are factually flawed. The fact of the matter is that during a time when black athletes who may have played quarterback in college were only considered to be secondary players, like, for example, you know, Tony Dungy would have been a case in point, the Bears were employing Vince Evans, and they signed Cordell Stewart as a free agent. And many of the people who made those decisions during a time when a black quarterback was certainly not viewed in the same way that it is today, nonetheless, those decisions were made based upon skill, based upon the quality of the individual, and they were made irrespective of race or whether it was vogue at that time to draft players who were African Americans. So I think the criticism that, you know, I'm not going to try to explain why Ryan Pace did not even have dinner with Deshaun Watson before making a decision on Mitch Trubisky, but to criticize the franchise when many of the same people who made the decision on Trubisky made the decision on Stewart and Evans is a problem. Secondarily, there was an excellent case made as to why Jameis Winston and Cam Newton were not signed by anybody in this league. And that was not a Bears decision. That was a league-wide decision that all of the deficiencies that he raised were so compelling and so much of a concern, particularly in this era where COVID is limiting your opportunity to take physicals with these players, to try them out effectively and otherwise evaluate whether they're able to play for your franchise. There were only two franchises that were willing to pay those individuals to play for one season at heavily discounted salaries. So to try to portray the Bears as bad or racist or otherwise cast them in a poor light because they didn't consider players that virtually no other team felt worthy of signing to anything other than a minimal salaried one-year deal, again, is a flawed argument. And while I certainly respect Ted and Faye for having the feelings that they do for reasons unrelated to football, to try to blend those in to criticize the Bears, I think is a specious argument, and they really, really need to think expanding and bleeding it into a football franchise argument. Thanks for the time, guys.
There you go, Bob. So, look, we'll take all your calls on this, so whatever you think. It's an open forum. It always is every day, whether it's about a White Sox no-hitter, the Cubs' lack of offense. Or,
by the way, the White Sox won again today.
They did. Or your belief in the bigger issues on the NBA or, you know, the Bears' quarterback position, where there are people in this town who believe that the Bears don't have a black quarterback because they don't want a black quarterback. Waddle and I don't believe it, but we're listening. We're listening. Again, like, I want to bring up something about George, and I don't know George McCaskey well. You know him better than me, and I want to compare him with another owner that has employed black quarterbacks, and I want to just ask you for food for thought coming up on that in 2 minutes, and Wilbon at 4:30.